It's a privilege today to have with us Brother Jerry and his wife Barbara, who have come to share a burden concerning the Puerto Rico Baptist College. Brother Goss comes from a background of agriculture. I learned last night that spent most of his years writing about agricultural needs, involved in promoting agricultural things, both in the state and federal level. And when they retired, they wanted to be used of the Lord in some fashion. And they have dedicated their lives to traveling, representing the college at their own personal expense. They don't take offerings for themselves. That to me is a tremendous desire that they have on their heart to do that. And the Lord has blessed them in a remarkable way. He's going to come now and sing, and then he's going to bring our morning message today. And I appreciate this couple. They've been a blessing to me. We had a good time last night together, and I hope that you'll give him your full attention this morning.
This is a song that I hope expresses the desire of your hearts as it does mine. I've a yearning in my heart that cannot be denied. It's a longing that has never yet been satisfied. I want the world to know the one who loves them so. Like a flame, it's burning deep inside. To be used of God, to sing, to speak, to pray. To be used of God, to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of His consuming fire. To be used of God is my desire. When I think about the shortness of these earthly years, I remember all the wasted days, the wasted tears. I long to preach the word to those who've never heard of the one who can dispel all fears. To be used of God, to sing, to speak, to pray. To be used of God, to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of His consuming fire. To be used of God is my desire. Amen. Well, as the pastor said, and as many of you heard during Sunday school, we represent Puerto Rico Baptist College. And it's a school in which there is a great desire among the students as well as the faculty to be used of God. And it's a thrill to be among the students down there. We spent a week there together, my wife and I, back in 2005. And it's just a super family atmosphere. And they put me on the board about 3 years ago, and so once a year I go down and get to renew that experience of being with the students and being there on the college campus. Just a great time. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. A few years ago, I was at an evening gathering in honor of a missionary, and the host and I were talking back in the kitchen, and he was telling me about his efforts to witness the previous day to a Russian woman who had begun work for him. He has a commercial cleaning business, and this Russian lady had hired on, and he was trying to share Christ with her. And he said something that really hit home. He said, you know, we need to show people that our relationship with Christ is real and lasting, not temporary, not surface, but real, that we have really been changed. That's our job. You know, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. So in a real way, we who know Christ are missionaries to a foreign land, whether we go overseas or not. Because when you step outside the doors of this church, you're in a majority of non-believers. Unless this area is a whole lot different from the areas that I've grown up in and worked in. We are in the world, but not of the world. Many of the folks out there, you know, our ways are foreign to them. I mean, they might really scoff at us taking time to get dressed and go to church on Sunday morning. Hey, Sunday's a day of rest, isn't it? Day to sleep in, enjoy life, maybe to sober up. We're in the world, but not of the world. So I'd like to look with you this morning of three aspects of being ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors where you live and where you work. One is the credentials of an ambassador. And then second, the clothing of an ambassador. And finally, the commission of an ambassador. First, the credentials. You know, an ambassador has to be a citizen of the country that he or she serves. You cannot be a citizen of a foreign country. The U.S. does not go to Brazil and pluck somebody out and say, hey, you go represent us in Germany. He doesn't go to Norway and find somebody to go across the line and represent us in Sweden. No, you've got to be a citizen of the country that you serve. And so the only way that you can be an ambassador for Christ is to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. And how do you become a citizen of the kingdom of God? Can you pass the citizenship test? You know, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3. You know, we don't become citizens by joining a church. Even a good church like Grace Bible doesn't work. You don't become a citizen of the kingdom of God by being baptized, by being kind to others, by giving to the poor, as good as those things are. But as Titus 3:5 says, it is not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I had to find that out in my own life. I told the pastor last night, I think I told you last night, that I was born into a family that went to church all the time. I mean, I probably was in church from the time I was about 2 or 3 weeks old, and certainly from the time I can remember, My very earliest memory of anything in this life is being handed to people in church. And we were there. I mean, if the doors were open, we were there. My parents were saved, and we were in church, folks. But we were in a church that was going liberal. And while I joined the church at the age of 10, along with another class, I think there were about 17 of us, and we joined the church on it was a Palm Sunday when I was 10 years old. And if you had asked me in high school or in college if I was a Christian, I would have said yes, and I would have meant it. But I was wrong. I was wrong. Thank the Lord that when I was 28 years old, a businessman called me, an insurance man. Now, this will knock you down if you know anything about insurance men. He called me not to sell me a policy, but to invite me to a businessman's Bible study. First time, probably the only time, an insurance man ever approached me for anything other than to sell me a policy. And you know, I really got into the Word of God for the first time. Now, if you knew me, you would know God had to be in this thing, because this businessman's Bible study in Richmond, Virginia, met at 7 o'clock on Saturday morning. Now, I told you, I went to church on Sundays, so I couldn't sleep in on Sunday. Saturday was the one day that I could sleep in, and I am not a morning person. I do not spring forth out of the bed each morning and say, you know, wonderful Lord, it's a new day. I wish I did, but I don't. But the Lord got me up for 2 years every Saturday morning, unless I was traveling out of town on business, every Saturday morning in time to get across the James River and out to the west end of Richmond to where this Bible study met. And you know, as I got into the book of Romans, I found out that I wasn't what I thought I was. I found out that God's opinion of me was different from my opinion of me. I thought I was a pretty good fella. You know, I was faithful to my wife. I didn't drink or smoke. Didn't do a lot of those, you know, what we call gross sins. But God began to show me my heart. And I still was struggling. I still thought I had to do something, that there was something I could do to merit eternal life. And finally, one night in April of 1965, sorry folks, I get a little emotional. I was reading a friend's testimony the other night, and I got so emotional, I was reading it to my wife, I got so emotional I had to quit and let her read it. I was alone in my bedroom, Richmond, Virginia, April 1965, and the Lord opened my eyes. It was just like, you know, when Paul said, the scales fell away. I saw that He had paid the price for my sin, and what I had to do was accept by faith what He had done. What a wonderful change in my life had been wrought when Jesus came into my heart. So, as Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, we're saved by grace, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I hope you're there. But if you're not, please come to Him today. Don't put it off. Let Him show you the new life that He has for you. You must be a citizen of the kingdom of God, or you cannot be an ambassador. Second, an ambassador must be properly dressed. I'm quite sure that the American ambassador to England, when he or she presents herself or himself to the Queen of England, does not walk in wearing a t-shirt and Bermuda shorts. Now, I have nothing against either of those, but I don't think they do that. I suspect that he is dressed very formally and that he walks rather stiffly and that he bows very courteously. You know, you don't present yourself as an ambassador wearing the kind of clothes that you wear if you're working around the house or working in the garden. In fact, the way I look when I'm working in the garden, I don't think you'd want to be seen like anywhere. But we cannot go forth as ambassadors for Christ garbed in the garments of our own goodness. Isaiah 64:6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Do we get the full meaning of that? All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Hey, we're sitting here in church this morning, so we're being pretty good right now, aren't we? Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. One of the men who was a member of that same Bible study told me of an illustration. He was supervising a crew that was cleaning out a septic system. Now, I don't know if any of you men have ever had that joy. I have. Anyhow, they were just about through, and one of the men had a wad of rags tied on the end of a stick, and he was swabbing out the septic tank, and he finished, and he held that thing up, and my friend said, "You know, guys, that's what our righteousness looks like in the sight of a holy God. That reeking, stinking, filthy blob of rags is what your righteousness and mine looks like to a holy God." I think it's hard for us to get our hands around the holiness of God. He's sinless, and he can't let sin into heaven. And that's why, folks, we got to be citizens of the kingdom of God. We got to come through Jesus Christ. He's got to see us through him, or we're not going to get there. And we're not going to enjoy what he has for us in this life either. Romans 17:8. Excuse me, my dyslexia has kicked in again. Romans 7:18. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." So we must do as Ephesians 2:22 and 24 say, to put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, it's the kind of sprucing up that only God can do. Romans 13:14, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." We must be clothed only in the righteousness of Christ. Finally, I want to look at the commission of an ambassador. David Wilkinson from Greenville, South Carolina, was ambassador to Canada under President Bush. Dave has a very good reputation in the community. I don't know him personally. I've never met the man. Seen his picture a lot of times because he was Speaker of the South Carolina House before he was named to the ambassadorship. So, since I wasn't acquainted with Dave, and I wasn't personally acquainted with President Bush either, I wasn't invited to his commissioning, but I can guarantee you that President Bush didn't say, "Dave, go on up there to Ottawa and have a good time. Whatever floats your boat, you know, do it. Just enjoy yourself for 4 years and everything will be dandy." He probably didn't need to say it, but if he had, he would say something like this, "David, your responsibility is to represent the United States of America. Your responsibility is to see that our laws and our interests are upheld, that they are carried out in every detail." You see, not even a guy like David Wilkinson had the freedom to go and do what he wanted to, because ambassadors don't make policy. Ambassadors carry out policy. The failure to do so would have gotten David or any of our other ambassadors a reprimand or a recall. In some countries, the failure to carry out the appointed duties would get you killed. So we are commissioned to being submissive to our authority. Romans 6:13 says, yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Glorify your Father, not us, Him. And by the way, if Jesus is not our light, we have no light. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. As ambassadors for Christ, we're commissioned to be submissive to Christ. We're also commissioned to be loyal. When the Sanhedrin had the apostles hauled into court back in Acts 5, they charged them. They couldn't understand it. I mean, they'd slung them into prison before, and God miraculously opened the doors, and here were these apostles back in the synagogue teaching the very things that the Sanhedrin had had them committed for in the first place. And they said, men, didn't we tell you not to disobey our orders? And what did they say? Peter was the spokesman. We ought to obey God rather than man. They were loyal to their Lord. They had the single-mindedness urged in Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Hebrews 12:1-2, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. That's true even after we're saved, isn't it? Lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I'm so glad He's the finisher and I don't have to do it. Finally, we're commissioned to do a job, aren't we? 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Notice something about that verse. It says, He has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. It didn't say He has committed unto Pastor Brainerd, did it? Nowhere in the Bible is it pointed at the preachers. Nowhere in the Bible is it pointed only to Sunday school teachers and song leaders and so on. He has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I have shared many times with my own family and with other people who listen, I don't understand that. If I'd been God, I don't think I'd have done it that way. I know at least some of my frailties and my faults and my failures. And they've been many. So why did God commit that to me and to other fallible mortals? But He did. God says in Acts 26:18, our job is to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them who are sanctified by faith. Matthew 28:19-20, very, very familiar to all of you who've been in church very long. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I have a friend who right now, I'm not sure if he's in India or Nepal, but he's over there visiting those two countries. He works with native evangelists throughout the country of India. And the Lord's given him a great vision. He's over there teaching them to observe what the Lord has commanded him. Let's read chapter 5, verse 20 again. Thou then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Well, are we ambassadors for Christ, folks? Are you? Examine yourself. Are you an ambassador for Christ? Have you been born of the Spirit, making you a citizen of the kingdom of God? Are you clothed not in the wretched rags of your own self-proclaimed righteousness, but in the robe of the righteousness of Christ? Are you carrying out the clear commission of your King, being an ambassador to others, to those you rub elbows with at work, to those you meet in the restaurants or on the ball field? We're ambassadors for Christ. You know, many politicians crave ambassadorships for the prestige, the power, the honor that it brings. Most earthly ambassadorships are seen as political plums. But if we're ambassadors for Christ, it's because we have been bought with a price. We have been bought by His blood. By His blood. He died for us, folks. We have been bought by His blood and sent in His stead. Let me close with Galatians 6:15. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Let's pray. Father, what a joy and privilege and what a responsibility to be ambassadors for Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you have sacrificed your Son to be our Savior. Thank you that you've paid the full price for our redemption. And Lord, if there's anyone here who doesn't know the joy of having Jesus in their heart, may they come to that knowledge today. And for the rest of us, Lord, we're chastened by the memories and the realizations of our own weaknesses and our own failures. Help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What a clear presentation of the gospel this morning. And I wonder if you have wrestled yet with the question that was asked at the very beginning. Can you pass the citizenship test? Are you a citizen of heaven? I'm afraid today that there are many that are trying to conduct themselves as ambassadors, but they're not citizens of the country they're trying to be an ambassador for. Oh, I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm on my way to heaven, but there's been no transition from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of Christ. You must be born again, the Bible says. And I appreciate so much the emphasis of this message, especially that of the ambassador's clothing. It's not your own clothing, is it? It's somebody else's clothing. It's the clothing of Christ, those robes of righteousness that we must have. The currency of heaven, the Bible tells us in Romans 5, is righteousness. And it's not our righteousness, it's Christ's righteousness. And so if you are not a citizen of heaven, you can't be an ambassador for Christ. You must be born again. And I trust this morning that you'll examine your own heart. Can I pass the citizenship test? I mentioned some weeks ago, about 2 years ago, how we went to Mrs. Raish, one of our fourth grade teacher, who received a citizenship here in the United States, and her whole fourth grade class went to the federal courthouse, and we got to witness the swearing in of all the 101 people that become citizens. But you know what they had to take before they could qualify? They had to take a test. They had to take a test. They had to learn the preamble to the Constitution, and they had to learn the Pledge of Allegiance, and they had to answer basic questions about our country and about our government and about our history. And if they pass that test, then they can be declared by a federal judge in Pensacola that they were indeed citizens of the United States. Can you answer basic questions? Are you trusting in your own righteousness this morning? If you are, then you won't pass the test. Are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone? If you aren't, then you cannot pass the test. It's that simple. And so I pray that the Word of God would work in your heart today and draw you unto Him. You can call upon His name right where you're at. But I want you to know this morning that the front is open here if you'd like to come and pray. If you'd like someone to take you aside and show you from the Word of God how you can trust Christ, we'd be glad to do that.